Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And the Lakers return to the court tonight after a bit of a layoff. Going to take on Utah. Lauri Markkanen was recently ruled out, but so was DeAndre Ayton and Gabe Vincent. Gabe going to be reevaluated in a week with some lower back soreness. And he joins Austin Reeves on the sideline. D, yesterday in our little two-part trade discussion, one of the things I brought up is Lakers only really have two-way guards that play between Austin and Gabe, and everybody else is like Luka's a guard on offense, but not really on defense. LeBron, similar type of thing. And so that leaves this Lakers team kind of guardless right now as we go into Utah, got a weekend game against the Clippers as well. And the last game the Lakers played was one of their first of this season where I thought they won because they were bigger than the other team, and not just big and skilled, but getting offensive rebounds, pressuring up on them, right? Sort of leveraging a size advantage of their own. I think that the whole big and skilled idea is the ideal for this roster, but they've been a lot more geared towards skill, right? With the pick and roll game, and that's a lot more developed than other aspects. I think this is sort of the next step of what it can be for this team this season. And you're always a big proponent of having multiple looks. I think that you can do that with personnel, but you can also do that stylistically. And those two things go hand in hand, of course. But I would love to talk a little bit more about this idea, because even with Gabe in the lineup, with Austin there, this has been sort of percolating, a little more post-ups with LeBron, more lineups where it's like, hey, they're kind of big across the board. Talk to me about how you see this upcoming stretch of games.
It's an interesting stretch for sure. Ayton being out is like, oh man, I wish they had Ayton for this stretch to sort of test this idea more. But I also do appreciate Jackson being able to like get a little bit more run. You mentioned the guys who are going to be out. Kleba has been upgraded to available, so not necessarily a big center, but another big shooting forward. This is an idea that we've discussed in the past as well, and an archetype of a player that I don't envision him stepping into the lineup and playing 20 minutes or multiple shifts or anything like that. That said, he can slot in a variety of different types of lineups. And when you talk about different looks, Pete, like, he's a guy that can help facilitate different looks for sure.
And on a night where DA is out, Jackson probably absorbs some of those minutes, but Kleba's going to be the next guy up in terms of a big man. It also has some interesting implications with Vando as well.
We could see small ball lineups. Utah's an interesting opponent from that perspective as well, just because without Walker Kessler, they have Nurkic But without Walker Kessler and then without Markkanen, Filipowski and Nurkic, and then that's sort of it. Really?
Very little rim protection. They got to, and this is an easy game, D, against a team that is 10 and 15. So they've won enough games to where they will get the Lakers if the Lakers don't show up tonight. But in the past, the Lakers have tried to kind of win these games on offense with jump shooting. There's a little less respect for the opponent where really that's where their weakness is at. And so you had mentioned we might see small ball looks. In some ways, I'd say the Lakers might not even be capable of that with their current roster, right? Like it'd be centerless looks for sure, but they've got some size across the board. Oh, although yes. Smith Jr. for sure is going to be in the mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Small ball. I was using that as a replacement for centerless, but if you have LeBron and Kleba, Rui, Vando,
Luca,
those dudes aren't small.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" dudes roaming around there. That's a different story. I am intrigued by this stretch though, just because without the guards, I do anticipate we'll see some Nick Smith. I'm wondering if we'll see Bronny at all in any of these games. I would doubt it, but
I'd prefer to see Dalton before Bronny. Yeah.
As well, did you happen to see Dalton's highlights from the G League the other day?
He was having fun getting some shots up. He's sort of on a team. Yeah, he was getting his opportunities. Yeah.
Well, he was definitely like, oh, Tennessee Dalton is back. Put the ball in this dude's hands and let him play a little bit, creating from the perimeter. The up and under 1 foot leaning three that he hit against the shot clock was a funny little shot. I'd like to see Dalton as well, but he also fits into that good positional size and a guy who can compete. Thero, I think, is another player that's just like, look, man, if you're going to have this many guys out and three rotation players in Austin, Gabe, and Ayton, that's what? 75 minutes or so of rotation that you need to fill in. Like you can get there by upping the number of minutes that Jake plays or the number of minutes that Smart plays. But it's just like, why would you necessarily want to do that, particularly against a Utah team? I know Utah's good at home and they're going to test the Lakers in real ways. But without Markkanen, they're also going to lean into like their ball handling guards. And so it is going to be a lot of George and Ace Bailey and these guys getting their opportunities and their shots up. And so I'm interested in the style dynamic that's going to take place for sure tonight. And then we'll see how long it goes without Ayton. But this stretch of games without Gabe and Austin, for sure, it's just like, oh, well, I'm certainly interested to see what it looks like when you pack the Lakers lineup with a bunch of wings.
So how does a team that is stronger physically than the opponent, and it's so nice to be on the other end of this, take advantage of a team that's going to be more guard heavy, whether it's Keontae George or Ace Bailey, Isaiah Collier? These are all young guards too, right? And so there's a lack of experience along with sort of a lack of size. Collier's strong. He's got a good build, right? Bailey's athletic. It's not like they have no physical tools of their own, but D, we kicked the crap out of the Suns on the offensive glass, which I really think is an area that whole run out of guys type of principle. I think there's going to be a lot of targeting of guys like George, guys like Bailey on the boards using physicality to get putbacks. And this has been a cool little evolution of the game over the last few years, is more and more crashing to the boards, more strategy behind it and understanding when and how to do it. Tonight seems like a prime night for the Lakers to be able to continue that.
I wrote about Jared Vanderbilt today. The post is now up at Silver Screen and Roll. It just published, so Pete, I forgive you for not reading
not
it
yet.
In the 3 minutes that it was up before we pressed record here. But one of the things that I hinted at but didn't spell it out completely is that idea of guards having to deal with bigger players crashing. And Vando benefited from that a ton against the Suns. This is part of the idea of jumbo initiators, Pete, is that you can't put your 6'9", 6'10 power forward traditionally on a Luka or a LeBron all of the time because they don't necessarily have the perimeter skills to like navigate screens and deal with all of the perimeter play, particularly that Luka can bring. And so you end up putting your as big a wing as you can on those guys and scaling down in other places. And so I was sort of laughing at Colin Gillespie or even sometimes Devin Booker trying to box out Vando.
Big time mismatches, yeah.
Yeah, Vando was just pinning in on Gillespie and just like, I'm just going to stand here the way that I imagine some of these wings do against like Zach Edey. And they're just like, what the hell? This dude's like, he's huge and you can't move this brick wall at all. And that's what Vando was doing. He was just planting his foot in the ground and just standing Gillespie up and being like, oh, well, this is my offensive rebound. And so I am encouraged and hope to see more of these lineup and personnel groupings where it is Smart, Vando, and Laravia on the court at the same time with LeBron. And then a center. Where do the guards go to defend Pete? Like, okay, you could put a guard on Marcus Smart, but even a guy like Laravia, who's not the fleetest of foot guy, but he's legit 6'6", 6'7", he's going to even corner crash and get in on the offensive glass. He's got good anticipation and a good nose for the ball. So even he can tap the ball around, and then there's Jackson Hayes, or when Ayton's available, there's Ayton. Ball's getting tipped out, Vando racing to the ball. It's like these teams can get overwhelmed with size. And so I am interested to see what it's like if Keontae George has to box out Jared Vanderbilt, if he has to play in the post against Luka Doncic, or if he gets switched and they're in a switching lineup and he has to box out Jackson Hayes. These are scenarios where the Lakers can win with their size.
Let's take a break here, come back and keep it going.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
So, Dee, this is a lot of the premise of how the Houston Rockets play. I'm super excited about the Lakers' first matchup with them a week from today on Christmas. And they start Josh Okogie. They play Steven Adams a ton. Amen Thompson is not a great shooter. Şengün just learned how to shoot threes this year, right? And yet they are highly productive from three-point range, in part because they're able to collapse the defense and work out of the interior as well. And so this is probably one of the biggest fruits left on the vine to me of the last couple of years of the AD era, in that I thought there was too much emphasis placed on perimeter shooting and spacing around him, where then there's actually great opportunity in playing two big lineups that are also capable of being mobile enough on the perimeter, right? And you can just sort of overwhelm and crash the castle gates, you know? And so, Dee, that idea is taking hold around the league. This isn't just something for the Lakers this year, but I think the Lakers can put sort of an interesting twist on it, kind of through that jumbo initiator idea, in that the guys that can still create great offense are still able to get you 8, 10, 12 boards per game. And so you're able to still create looks without losing some of the power and rebounding capability that teams that are a little more dependent on their guards to create shots are.
Are you telling me the 2020 Lakers were onto something?
And it's not the only thing you have to do, right? But at some point, you know, you got AD, you got Dwight. Now it's like Danny Green's the biggest two in the league. You've built an overall type of look, right? That you can really leverage in a way that the Lakers got away from.
Well, it's just the idea. Mike sent us a great text a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and it was a chart that someone published. And I'm sorry, I can't recall who published this information, but it was the value of three-point shots versus two-point shots historically. And the chart was basically saying that for the first time in a very long time, the relative value of a two-point shot was higher than the relative value of a three-point shot. And I honestly think that offensive rebounding and the ability to play interior basketball and shrink the floor offensively yourself rather than allowing the defense to shrink the floor against you is super important in that. JJ lamented the other day when the Lakers shot the ball particularly poorly, that he was just like, you know, well, we're one of the best non-rim two-point shooting teams in the league. It's one of the drivers of their half-court offense. And those traditionally are not valuable shots. In fact, they're the types of shots that most teams would invite you to shoot. But if you can make those shots consistently, you can have an advantage. And to me, Pete, those have more often been playoff shots. Now, the nature and creation of those shots in the playoffs is often in the Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant,
Dirk.
Mm-hmm. Dirk, like I'm isolating and non-assisted shots. The Lakers are getting a fair amount of those shots on assisted plays, right? Where it's just like, oh, here's Ayton in the pocket and here's like Rui stepping in to shoot a 16-footer off of a closeout. But the size aspect of this and the ability to be bigger than your opponent and then force them to collapse is going to allow you to then get better and more open threes if you're able to like kick the ball out and do something with it. Vando got a nice offensive rebound against the Suns, and it led to a kick out and then a swing and then a DHO where LeBron came off and hit a three. That's not the classic like, oh, kick out, ball right to the shooter who steps into a wide open shot. But the same idea applies. It's like we're generating second possessions. We're then, the defense is then preoccupied with what's happening inside the arc because the ball is just naturally closer to the rim. And it creates a reaction. And so the Lakers are, they're never going to be built like the Rockets. They're never going to play exactly the way that you described the Rockets play. That said, to have a semblance of that club in your bag, like this is the part of the season where the Lakers are, what, 18-7 or whatever they are. This next stretch of 20 to 25 games, it gets you to essentially the half point of the season, like where you're at around the All-Star break. This is the point where I think what works, let's refine what works, and then let's expand and create branches off of the tree of what we know that works in order to become the most well-rounded team that we can in this part of the season. And then in the final stretch, to me, it's about like hammering that idea home to then say, no, we've perfected to the best that we can the version of the team that we can be with these two or three different looks, if you have them at your disposal, in order to be the most sound playoff team that you can be.
Yeah, that's why I'm so excited about this upcoming 20, 25 games or so, is I do think that they have the seeds growing of that secondary type of look. And so that the geometry of that is super fascinating to me, D. Like when you were talking about the, you know, attacking on the interior in the non-restricted area type of twos, I think of the where are players stationed commonly out of that? And it starts at the nail right in the middle of the free throw line, where you've got a super talented finisher in DA at that spot, but also Luka off of the dribble. Austin's very good from this range. But one thing that really strikes me, D, and that I'm curious to see with this version of the Lakers without guards, really, is the Lakers have an unusual amount of interior passing that I think you have to be good at to navigate this geometry, right? So it starts in the nail, and I think both dunker spots are very important off of this. And now what the dunker spot is, I think sometimes that is the nail. It depends on where the ball is starting. But if the ball's in the middle of the floor, that sort of interior geometry of middle of the floor, one guy on one side, one guy on the other in each dunker spot, kind of crashing relative to whichever direction that the ball handler goes in at the nail. Or if you're attacking from the side, right, the dunker spot is, or the free throw line is a dunker spot of sorts, as is that weak side dunker spot, right? But it's sort of this interior trio where you've gotten past that first line of defense that I think is super vital in terms of like the commonality of all of the losses the Lakers have had. It's been teams that have been built to guard pick and roll offense, right? And the Lakers had kept going to it in ways where it's like, oh, you're going to get stripped by faster players, by like, that's sort of what they're built to stop. And that's part of the reason why I refer to attacking in this way is like, I refer to entry points a lot. Like in OKC, they are built to stop your pick and roll offense, right? You have to find somewhere else to get in and get behind their defense. And this is a way that second layer of operating from this range that most teams are not good at, that is a lot less defended. And so I think interior passing is super key to that. So I know you're a big ball movement guy, that and that passing and IQ is something that you value quite a bit. Talk to me about sort of the interior passing that's necessary to be good at this and who the Lakers have in that respect.
Let's go to break here, Pete. And when we come back, I'd love to dive into these ideas about interior passing and these different spots on the court.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I love that you highlighted like the area around the free throw line and to me, like the mid post, particularly the left block, as being critical areas that the Lakers can exploit against a lot of teams. And this is where I think their post up play from the left block and their horn sets, which they haven't gone to as much, but may want to now with fewer like guards. Right? Because when you have fewer guards, naturally, Luka is still going to run a ton of pick and rolls, but you don't necessarily have all of the pick and roll talent to say like, oh, well, now here comes Austin Reeves to run a pick and roll. LeBron can obviously run them as well, but I'd like to see LeBron in the post a little bit more or catching at the elbows a little bit more. And so if you're down to like Nick Smith, who is a pick and roll guard too, but I don't want the Lakers offense to go in the direction of like, oh, well, we're such a pick and roll team that Nick Smith is going to get opportunities above something else.
Yeah, it's not just like opportunities. It's that this is built around him being able to be good at this. Like if it comes his way, great, but you don't want that to be the main thing.
So I'd love to see LeBron and Luka catching the ball at the elbows or the nail area while running like horns actions, basically. And then I'd love to see LeBron especially operating from that left block where, to me, he's such a refined combination of scoring and passing. And he can use what I think is his most natural advantage against many of the defenders that he faces, which is his combination of like smarts and strength. So he can bully so many different types of defenders and collapse the defense. And so I want to focus on LeBron here because it brings it back to a point I wrote in my Vando post, that the geometry of the court, you mentioned this as well, that there's layers to the geometry of the court when you're operating from that left mid-post area. And what often happens, particularly against LeBron post-ups, is he will be backing down a player who's in between 6'6", and then LeBron size, but is usually not as strong as him. Right? There's only so many Scotty Barnes, Aaron Gordons, OG Anunobis in the world that you can be like, hey, I trust you to stand up against a punishment. If you're even Paul George's size, Pete, LeBron's going to back you down and start to create leverage in a way where the defense starts to shift over. And what happens is that the player who's naturally in the dunker spot, let's say it's Jackson Hayes, and then the player who's naturally in the weak side corner, those players often get a buffer zone because both of the both of their individual defenders shift over a layer in order to help on LeBron, basically. And so Jackson's guy often lingers in the paint or sometimes will even go all the way over to the other side of the paint in a strong side zone look. And this is how Jackson catches lobs over the top because LeBron sees this and he'll just throw it. The player who's then in the corner, that guy gets free roam in order to cut, and he can run the baseline, he can flash to the actual nail area, or he can just sink down even further and pin in against who is usually a smaller wing who's on the backside. And this is where I think Vando can be super effective as a weak side player who's not a floor spacer. Right. And so if you've got a big that is crashing to the front of the rim to serve as like a lob threat or an offensive rebounding threat, and then you've got a weak side big-ish wing like Vando or even a Rui or even Laravia can do this as well, that can crash from the weak side, you are then creating this wave of bigger players.
That's what I mean about a second wave cut. Yeah, it's like that first wave is Ayton, for example, and then Vando comes in after that, right? That, or it could be vice versa, but you really need two of them for it to be effective.
That's the collapsing of this part of the court that happens from the post area, and it's one of the reasons why I do want the Lakers to be, to have this sort of alignment in their arsenal of offensive attack. And I highlighted this in my post, Pete, but Vando and LeBron, it's now the fourth season of these guys playing together. And in every single season when they've shared the court, the Lakers have had a positive net rating. And it's like over 750 minutes now of these guys sharing the court and the Lakers being a net positive team. And so, look, and that's with a bunch of different types of teammates from Malik Beasley and D'Lo to Anthony Davis and Jackson Hayes to Rui and Austin to last year's group with Luka and Gabe and all of these different guys. Like, they've been able to still have a positive net rating. And so I am very much interested in finding these alignments on the court where how can you position your best players in places to be threats where they don't always have to do it with a live dribble coming off of a screen 25 or 30 feet away from the basket? don't get me wrong, the Lakers are so good at the pick and roll, but if that's your only thing, you're going to stall out offensively against the best teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something I hear Kobe's voice about, talking about Harden ball ringing in the back of my head, that if that's the only look that you have, yeah, that's not going to get it done. But if you're able to be effective from both ball screens and in the post, if a defense is good at guarding one, and they're a lot likelier, or a lot less likely to be effective at a guard, at guarding the other. And so that to me is the path. It's like sort of the two main looks that they need. One thing I want to add on the offensive end before we switch the attention to the defensive end is those horn sets and sort of working out of this interior requires a triple threat touch, ideally, for one of your best players. And getting them that ball means that they aren't the ones bringing the ball up court. So there is still a ball handling need that, especially as regardless, they're going to be leaning on that a little bit more. This is one thing that they did a lot last game against Phoenix, where Marcus Smart, and to a lesser extent Gabe, but Gabe did this too, where it's that sort of thankless Derek Fisher triangle offense point guard type of job, where it's like your job is to bring this up court, yes, against ball pressure, get to this particular spot. And like what Marcus was doing is he was driving deep into, like he was driving toward the baseline just so that he could dribble back out and get a better passing angle into the horn, right to the elbow type of touch. There's like that. That's a big thing. Before we switch to defense, D, I know it's a thankless job, but it's an important one.
It is. And Smart's going to play a critical role there. I also think Laravia is going to play a role there. This is why Nick Smith is going to play for sure, because you need that other ball handler. And it is a thankless job, but it's an important one. And this is why, to me, Smart is a more natural. It's one of the reasons why, and I think this will be a good bridge to the other side of the floor. It's one of the reasons why I value Marcus Smart as a starter. It's because teams are going to throw a ton of ball pressure at Luka, LeBron, and Austin anytime they have the ball. And you can shield them from that almost entirely if Smart is the starter versus Rui. Like, because one of those guys is almost always going to face ball pressure. And if it's LeBron who you ask to bring the ball up at times, he can now be pressured by a wider variety of defensive players at any other point in his career. Like, even if it's like a less rangy power forward, that guy can still pick up LeBron full court and at least try to bother his handle a little bit. But because he's LeBron James, he's never going to see a lowish quality defender, if that makes sense. So I'm all for Smart being a guy who has offensive utility for this team as well, besides the defensive utility. And so let's talk about the defense a little bit before we wrap up, Pete.
No, absolutely. That's something that, you know, other teams are going to really challenge the Lakers' foot speed. That's something with George and Collier. They're going to look to drive off the dribble. And I just want to talk about sort of containing when you're at a foot speed disadvantage and getting out to the three-point line. I do think this is a great opportunity to play some more zone. That's one of the things that I think the Lakers will need to incorporate more and more over the course of the season, and so that they can really go to it over the course of the playoffs. But there's also a positional component of like knowing where your help is and understanding kind of, this is one of the things I miss about Austin, is that he does an effective job at guarding talented players that he normally wouldn't be able to stay in front of, just by understanding kind of where the help is coming from. And how, and so that I think is kind of going to be the template for this Lakers team defensively in terms of containing the ball. But that's something Lakers have had some issues with. So how do you view the opposite side of the ball, where teams are really going to try to use their speed to exploit a bigger Lakers team without guards?
I appreciate the idea of them trying to play a little bit more zone, and I love having size in a zone regardless. Like, I'd love to be able to play lineups, for example, where it's Smart and Vando at the top of the zone, and then on the backside of the zone, you might have LeBron and Laravia, and then a center. The ball containment thing, a lot of it is just going to be, to me, Pete, like locking in and doing the best that you can. To me, there's not a bunch of rocket science to it. The opponent has a quickness and ball handling advantage, like, you're going to get beat at times. The thing that you need to be able to do is, at least as you've laid out a bunch of times in the past, at least choose the direction that you're going to get beat and try to like shift the guy towards direction that you want. the Lakers are going to ice a bunch of screens. They're going to like try to take away middle almost all of the time. It's one of the principles of their defense. So if you see a ball handler get middle, then the Lakers probably messed up in some way, shape, or form. So one of the things I think the Lakers need to do is really have like game plan discipline and understand like what teams are trying to do against them. Like, for example, George, he's a guy that I think the Lakers would prefer to drive rather than like take jumpers off of the dribble, like where you're going under a bunch of screens. I would argue Collier's the opposite, that you want to turn him into a jump shooter rather than a driver, because he's such a strong and like almost a Baron Davis-esque driver. He's not as athletic and a finisher in that way, but he wants to get downhill and be a bit of a bowling ball. And so some of this is KYP as well. Like, know your personnel, know what the game plan says for each of these guys and handle that accordingly. Is there something that I'm missing here or something I haven't said that you'd love to highlight?
Yeah, ball pressure and ball denial, right? It's easy to, when you're at a foot speed disadvantage, to sort of give that player a little extra space because you're afraid they're going to be able to drive on you. One of the things I loved about that Phoenix game, it's like, yeah, you guys are faster than us, but think about it in a one-on-one combat sport type of way, like boxing or something else like that. The stronger fighter with the reach advantage and that has more physical tools actually wants to fight up close, right? They want to close the distance between the two boxers, where the faster fighter actually wants a little bit of that space so they can kind of zip around and beat you with their feet and get a superior angle because they beat you to a spot. This is one of the great things about having Vando reinserted into the lineup, having Marcus back. And there's several other players. Jake kind of plays this style as well. I want our perimeter defenders to put their paws on guys a little bit more often rather than just being in that, oh crap, you're going to drive on us, we got to sag off of you type of thing. Now, if they can break free from that, of course, that's going to get you into rotation and things like that. But that is a way to get some wins, a way to force some turnovers. I think a lot of the Lakers' defensive style just overall should be geared toward maximizing turnovers, and you're going to give up some foot speed buckets as a result of that for sure. But I think you can also create some high turnover games like they did the other day. So that was another thing I just wanted your quick thoughts on, D, is like, I still think you can ball pressure, ball deny, be physical on the ball and off of it, even against the smaller, faster players.
I totally agree with this idea. And I'm so glad you brought up the idea of being a turnover forcing team. If you're not the most athletic, fast team, but you are a bigger and stronger team, yeah, man, like, press your passing lanes, use your physicality, hold the guy up, try to knock him off of their path. And Vando is the one player, and I'll include Smart here too, actually. They both have a certain level of motor to them that allows them to get into passing lanes and be disruptive in ways that is more traditional within this sense. I look at LaRavia and Luca as guys who can use their anticipation and their size to sort of like be that free safety that once they get their wheels going, they can then make a play in the open field, so to speak. And the Lakers are never going to be let's sit down in my stance and contain the ball and you can't get by me. They're not going to be an OKC, Portland, pressure you at the point of attack entirely while containing and force turnovers that way. They're going to be a team, though, that can use their size and their anticipation and the physicality that they do have to knock you off your spot or bump you a little bit, force a little bit of a misdirected pass, and then pounce that way. What they can't do is sit back and be passive. They don't have the foot speed to be a passive defensive team. Mm-hmm. I think they need to be strong and physical and aggressive. And if that means that a guy beats them off of the dribble, well then, okay, at least they're then driving into a back line where there is more size. Vando stepped over and got like a really nice block shot at the rim, and he rotated over. It's just like, oh, this guy thinks he's got a free rein, but here comes Vando. Like, even a guy like LaRavia can get vertical LeBron can do that as well. Rui can be a presence on the back line way more than he can be a point of attack. I'm going to try to contain the dribble guy. That's not the style of defense that the Lakers are going to thrive in, Pete.
No, certainly not. And so I do think that turnover forcing, more aggressive style is they're going to get some losses either way. They're going to give up some buckets, whatever approach they have. I think that allows them to get a few more wins. All right. Excited to see the team back on the court. I will be back doing a live play-by-play probably after Christmas. Not do that this week, but we'll get back to that there. So everybody enjoy the game tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about how it went. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's in. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound of Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one.
Miss it.
Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to 5. Bryant. Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic. Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.